December 2nd, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere a Mulberry, episode 62. Hey everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, once again here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Nice to have you here with us. Here on the show, we talk about film, television, pop culture, and everything of interest. And I do it with more than one person, and one of those people is Steven, the Pop Culture Zealot. How are you doing, Steven?
I'm fine. How about you?
I'm fantastic. We took a week off from the show.
Have a nice Thanksgiving there.
Oh, had a great Thanksgiving, Steven. I ate a lot. One of my favorite hobbies is eating.
Yes.
It was kind of weird taking the week off from the show. It's the void that fills my life as a reason for being was gone, and I got very suicidal over the holidays.
Well, I've stopped one of my pop things. Soda pops. No more.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Been weeks.
That's supposed to be New Year's, Steven. You're doing it too early. New Year's resolution.
I think Steven's confused.
I just try to lose a few LBs here from the sodas. Drinking too
many. Oh, I got you. Yeah, it has a lot of sugar.
You know, there is something called diet.
Have you tried
soda.
Diet soft drink, Steven?
I'm trying to do away with caffeine and
no,
everything.
No, that's good, though. Yeah, you're commended, sir. Also, we have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How are you doing, Bill?
I'm doing well, and you know, I'm also trying to quit cocaine.
Oh, well, good.
I'm right in there with Steven.
That's good, yeah.
Coke for me, cocaine for you.
So, if you got, sometimes you hear snorting on the show. It's not Steven, it's Bill doing blow on the show.
Yeah, I'm doing a couple lines.
Yeah.
I need them before cult news and DVDs. They get me going, that last little push.
He does seem a little kind of really excited, and then, like, he just goes flat at the end. And I think it's like a stroke or something.
His heart.
No, it's the crash, you know, crash. From the Coke.
Oh, see, I know nothing about that kind of stuff.
Neither do I, but
everything
I'm just
I learned is from
Miami
Vice. Well, Bill, I hope we can get you to the Mulberry Rehab Clinic as soon as the show's over.
No, I'm not ready for that.
Oh, okay. He has to want to
He's
quit.
He's got
to
hit bottom.
Also, I'm waiting for an episode that we can like appear on A&E's Intervention.
Love that show.
Sweet.
I've
Great
never
show.
Seen
of
that.
Of course, Vanessa would love that.
Great show.
Just crying for help on the show.
Yeah.
I really love that intervention show, hint, hint. Oh, wait, somebody wants on the show. Well, we ought to introduce Vanessa since we're talking about her. Hey, Vanessa, how you doing? The Mulberry Newswoman.
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good. I guess we all have an addiction on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our addictions is pop culture, is it not? Segway.
Segway.
Awesome. You know, one thing that sucks is we took the week off, and then all this crap happens. Kramer from Seinfeld does a racist tirade. Yeah.
And you know, I don't know what people thought was so offensive about it. I thought it was hilarious. That's high comedy.
Oh, wow. No,
I'd have been throwing dollar bills on stage. Take it off, Kramer!
As usual, I'm going to have to ask you all to ignore Bill. Looking around, I see you're all two steps ahead of me.
See, I wouldn't have gone to see Michael Kramer's stand-up. I'd have gone to see Stanley Spadowski's Clubhouse.
I would have seen Screech stand-up. But
I would have gone to see Newman stand-up. Hello, Newman.
Yeah, especially since he's lost a lot of weight as well recently.
Yes.
Really?
He quit the soft drink, Steven. There you go.
There you go.
He started
That's where Steven
cocaine.
Got the idea from.
He's on the Shasta diet.
I want a pop.
Whatever happened to Shasta? I love that
it's
stuff.
I think it's still around.
Shasta
I think you can
soda.
Actually get it at nursing homes. <It's> like that's where they have it now.
It's like middle
I've
America.
I've driven by the Shasta plant in
oh,
California.
What? You didn't snap a pic? Damn it. No.
RC Cola. That was one, too. I don't know if that's still around.
No, Royal Crown's still around.
What is the best
around?
Way to take away someone's dignity?
No, RC Cola is very prevalent. It's at the store down the street.
Really? I've seen it a long time.
Yeah, we got it all over Mulberry.
I liked it better than Pepsi when I was a kid.
Who didn't? Pepsi is horrible.
RC is one of those things you pick up every once in a while. I can't drink it all the time, though.
It's a little less sweet than Pepsi.
Yeah, you know what I've been drinking a lot lately? Root beer. I don't know what it is, but root...
You know what? I have been, too. It's really crazy.
And I almost forgot. Root beer is great with certain things. Root beer is fantastic with pizza.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I've been ordering it, too, with...
Ice cream. As Vanessa said.
Because yeah, it is decaffeinated, but it does have a lot of sugar.
Yeah, see, I'm even drinking diet root beer.
Yeah, the A&W diet root beer is awesome.
It is. And you know what else? Popcorn. Root beer and popcorn. For some reason, that works for me. And I'm just
root
like,
beer and popcorn?
Do they still make cream soda?
Of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ugh, that
Vanessa,
is nasty.
You need to get out of the house. Go to the store.
A&W cream soda. Awesome.
Vanessa, well, you need to go further down the drink aisle past the Dr. Peppers every once in a while.
I don't. They even have diet cream soda. Ew. Who the hell would drink that?
Well, you know what? The diet really isn't that bad Vanessa. Anymore because they're using that Splenda. It's made from sucralose, and it's very sugary. It's not like that aspartame nasty taste.
It's actually sweeter because
I
had a diet.
Splenda.
Sucralose is actually sweeter than sugar.
Well, because the Diet Dr. Pepper, I was going to try it because they say it tastes very similar. It's too sweet for me.
Diet Dr. Pepper is okay, but I think Diet Pepsi and Diet Coke are better.
No, the best Dr. Pepper is that kind out of that, is that in Texas?
The Imperial bottle of sugar.
The real sugar.
Yeah, that is the best.
Oh, yeah.
I actually bought like 24 bottles of that from some website, and I savored it. It was
it's
awesome.
It's really good. It's hard to find it, though. I didn't know they were selling it online, but I know...
Yeah, you can actually go to their website and buy it.
Oh, I'm going to get that. Is it more expensive?
No. I mean, you just got to pay for shipping, of course.
But... Yeah.
You should be able to find it around stores around here, Vanessa. They have it.
Yeah. Really? You know, we're starting a new thing now with this show. We're going to talk about beverages for 30
right.
minutes.
I love beverages.
Well, next time could be we could talk about our favorite snack cakes and stuff next time.
Yeah, we are Little Debbie's Hostess. So you got
our favorite hamburgers. Hold that to next time.
Home run pies, Bill.
Yeah. We need to add a 20-minute food segment.
We are. Now, guys, as we've cracked open our soft drinks, let's check out some voicemail. What do you guys say?
You pretentious, elitist, unfunny bastards. You can't take a little bit of criticism. When you tell that team of comedy hacks to snap in their quills and get cracking on writing some funny gags.
The Casey Kasem?
I think it was.
No, that was Rick Dees.
Was he on a
fuse the two?
Was he on a soup can on
I
the stream?
I think he was on
connection?
One of those voice hiding machines.
Yeah,
voice digitizer.
See, I'm thinking that's the same exact guy as this one.
I'm thinking we need to get into a voicemail company.
I want you all to clap your hands if you believe that Foggy exists. Clap. Come on, everybody out there, put your hands together.
Foggy
and
exists.
Clap. I believe.
So that's two of us that believe you exist, or three.
Does anybody else get, like, seriously freaked out when they hear that?
I picture an evil clown calling in. That's an evil clown, I'm thinking. Well, we didn't get all psycho voicemails. We got another one. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys, it's me, Don Chip. From the chat.
Hey, Don Chat.
While I'm calling, I'm listening to episode 61, and not even 10 minutes into it, I heard your first feedback from the guy who said the reason you're not getting any feedback is because people are getting bored and tired, and, well, they don't, and he doesn't believe in Foggy, and I have to disagree. I love your show. I love what you guys have been doing. You guys are consistent. You keep it up. It's always on Tuesday, sometimes not. It's there for me. I like to listen to it. Download it and everything. I know what to expect from you guys. I know you guys are going to talk about Battlestar. I know you guys are going to talk about Smallville, and I love it, and I look forward to it. Heroes. Every so often, you bring something new. Bill brings up his great cult news. Vanessa's reading of the mail is still hot and on the spot. Yeah, sure, add video games. And as for Foggy, I believe in Foggy. I totally believe in Foggy.
Yes,
thank
you. Guys stay well.
He appreciates it.
Ciao.
Yeah, just because Foggy doesn't talk, no one.
people need to
Harpo
stop.
Harpo Marx never talked. Come on,
it's a lot like Christianity. You have to have faith.
Yes. Yeah, but people need to stop talking about believing in Foggy, because Foggy's going to get this huge head, and he's going to turn into the next L. Ron Hubbard, and then I'm going to be doing stories about him on Call
of Duty. I know, because do you guys, way back when the show first started, like, all of our stuff had to do with Foggy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we always got all this feedback.
Foggy, you rock.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Don Chep, thanks for calling in. That was awesome.
Yeah, you rule, Don Chep.
Thanks, John.
And Don Shep, if people want to know, he really loves Walter Hill.
Yes, he does.
Truly and deeply.
You know what's funny? That episode 61, did you guys notice that when the guy is talking about how he goes, your show is pretentious, I'm no longer listening, and most of all, it's not funny, goodbye. And the first person you hear Vanessa go, thank you. And I'm like, why is she saying thank you? The guy just insulted us.
That was exactly my point.
No, like, I think you were like reading a magazine. Oh, thank you. The voice was over.
Oh, it's kind of like, you know,
the kill it with kindness type.
Exactly. Yes. If someone's like saying, you're an asshole. Yeah, thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
And then you get shivved in the back.
Right. All right, let's check out and see what else we got.
Hey, citizens of Mulberry, this is the Ron. Sorry I haven't called in a while. I've been busy with life.
No, that's quite all right, Ron.
Here's a Guns N'
Roses concert for a hotel to stay down at Comic-Con in San Diego, and it made me think, how about, okay, Comic-Con's next July of next year, so we got plenty of time. You know, I'll pay for the freaking room. You guys bring your happy asses down there, and you guys broadcast from Comic-Con, from the hotel room or the gas lamp district, anywhere near Comic-Con, broadcast nowhere from Mulberry from Comic-Con next year. Get
nowhere
some interviews
from
and
Mulberry.
Everything. That'd be awesome.
We were from Mulberry. That's why I got you.
Just tell your wife it's like some mandatory podcast meeting, and if you don't go, you could lose your podcast license, and
if
you need X amount of dollars or something. So, you know. Come up with some excuse to come on down. Jason, Bill, Vanessa, everybody, come on down. And
everybody.
I'm everybody.
Get drunk, go to the comic convention, and then you guys can do your show.
That other guy.
Me and Fonger.
Right,
the others.
Balls well with you guys. Hope you guys all have a happy holidays, and I'll try and give another voicemail soon, all right?
I feel like Marianne at the beginning of the Gilligan's and the rest.
But why is he trying to get us all in a room together is what I want to know.
He's really
Maybe he wants
kinky.
To prove Foggy exists.
Could he be the clown that's calling in? The psycho yeah. serial killer clown?
He's going to lock us in his basement. I do like his idea of us getting together for like the Comic-Con. I think that would be fun.
That would be cool.
But depending on, you know, what I'm doing in July, I might have, you know, I might be on a gig or something, but I'd do it.
Right. It's kind of hard to plan that far ahead, and at the same time say we did do that.
Yeah.
Would we really, we're in San Diego, it's like, do we really feel like podcasting right now?
I'm going to be scoping out around. Views.
We'd want to be walking around and exploring everything. It would be
we
hard.
We could always interview
after
drunken
the Comic-Con
nerds.
You do the podcast. I mean, hell, we're just recording it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be I mean,
yeah, after you get back to the hotel room and you've seen everything, then,
yeah,
you,
then
we
you
talk
comment
about
on
it.
The
And yeah. we bring, like...
See how brilliant I am?
Yeah, you...
We should get press credentials.
We get Hero from Heroes or Starbuck to come back to the room, and that's when we lock the door. That's what happens.
Sold!
Right, that's kind of came off weird. Okay, anyway, thank you for all the voicemail we received this week. If you'd like to send us a voicemail, call 1-206-202-3491 and send us a voicemail. Or, like I said before, send us an MP3 of your comment to nimpodcast@gmail.com. And do that, and we love it. We just bathe.
Certainly sound better.
We bathe in voicemail, do we not?
Well, that's the only
that's
thing we
lovely.
Bathe in.
That was beautiful.
Let's check out entertainment.
Give him the stick. Don't give him the stick!
Now, Bill, you and I, and everyone we know... Or I guess Steven. We're all huge fans of the guys who made Shaun of the Dead.
Spaced.
Edgar Wright, Spaced. Simon Pegg, Nick Frost. They were in a show called Spaced. Bravo is now airing it. In fact, my TiVo picked up like season one last weekend. All of a sudden, I had all seven episodes again.
You're like, oh, wow.
And I was like, hey, I'm going to sit here and watch them again.
Bonus.
Got it on DVD. Hopefully it comes out here DVD in this region soon.
People need to see it. I mean, it's such a great show.
It is. It's a fantastic show. And if you've seen Shaun of the Dead and you liked it, I'm already telling you, you will like Spaced. And I think you will like their new movie called Hot Fuzz.
Is that like Super Fuzz?
Yeah.
Exactly, Vanessa. No. You hit it right on the head.
It'll be funny.
Thank you.
Very good pop culture reference, Vanessa.
Thank you. Nobody knows what I'm talking about.
I wasn't
about,
being
okay.
sincere, by the way. Super! Very if he saw Red, he would...
Yeah, it was weakness.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, but Hot Fuzz, that's a good movie, all right? I haven't even seen it yet, but I'm already going to say,
Bill...
you're
already giving it 5 stars.
Yeah, I'm already saying, Bill, best movie ever made.
Yeah, I am so excited for this, I actually get an erection when I think about it.
Wow. You get an erection from oxygen.
Sometimes, Bill, we go too far, and you just did that, sir.
Bottom saw.
Body massage.
Okay.
Sergeant Nicholas Angel. Expert in hand-to-hand combat. Armed response. And high-speed pursuit. He was so good, they reassigned him.
Right. You've been making us all look bad. There's one thing you haven't taken into account, and that's what the team is going to make of this.
Statistically, Sanford is the safest village in the country.
Now, this big city cop.
You ever fired 2 guns whilst jumping through the air?
No.
You ever fired 1 gun whilst jumping through the air?
No.
Must learn.
Is it true that there is a place in a man's head that if you shoot it, it will blow up?
How to think small.
Morning, the swans escaped.
The swans escaped.
Can you describe it to me?
About 2 foot tall.
Yep.
Long, slender neck.
That's just going to scare it.
But in a place where nothing bad happens.
Watch this.
Ta-da! Things are about to get very bad.
3 people have died in a week.
Accidents happen all the time. What makes you think it was murder?
There hasn't been a murder in 20 years.
You're saying this wasn't an accident?
Not everyone's a murdering psychopath. It's high time you realize that. You and your monkey.
Did he mean me or that? Have you ever wondered why the crime rate is so low, and yet the accident rate is so high?
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna bust this thing wide open.
From the team that brought you Shaun of the Dead.
You never taken a shortcut before?
When the heat is on,
here come the fuzz.
Go, go, go!
You've got to call the fuzz.
What else you got, Crockett and Tubby?
Gunfights, car chases.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hot Fuzz.
Bring the noise. That was brilliant.
Thumbs up. Gonna go see it opening day.
Now, it's a very visual trailer, so we're gonna put the link to it in the show notes. But yes. Everyone needs to check it out because it looks really funny. It looks insane. You know, whenever they start getting into the thick of things, I hear it's just incredibly gory, more than Shaun of the Dead ever could have dreamed of.
Love that. And I love Edgar Wright's directing style. He has the very kinetic visuals, camera flying at you, that kind of thing.
He's what Michael Bay would be if Michael Bay was actually a good director.
He reminds me of Sam Raimi in his early days, in his youth, kind of.
Yeah, Edgar Wright has incredible visual style, and he is just really talented.
Yeah, what I would call it is visually awesome to look at, but not like Michael. Wait, I mean, I didn't put that in the best way. You know, it's kinetic visuals, the camera moving around, but he does it in a stylistic way that doesn't call attention to itself. Like, hey, look what I'm doing, everybody! Wink, wink.
It's like, not that kinetic way, like I was saying, Michael Bay does that really, it's like constant cuts.
I'm going to say,
it gives you a headache.
This is how I'm
going
to describe it, Bill. He does blue-collar kinetic visuals, not that fluffy Hollywood crap. This
actually worked for where he is.
This is the working man's kinetic visuals. That's what I'm saying.
This is watchable, is what you're saying.
Yes, sir. It's awesome. And so, Hot Fuzz. And you know what? All it says is coming soon. I have no idea when it's coming out.
It's opening February 17th in the UK and March 7th in the States.
Nice. We will keep everyone updated on that, will we not?
All right, guys. Let's check out what's on our TiVos. I think it's very important that we do that right now.
But too bad your ass got sad.
Okay, guys, Bachelor Rome, a show none of us watched at all, is over, I believe, and he picked his whore. Let's check it out.
And see that these emotions I feel towards you are real, as they are in Italy, that they are in the United
States.
They're
not regional feelings.
And if you're willing to...
It's not like taking a region zero love, it's a region one.
I got bitches in every zip code, baby.
His feeling is like the weather.
This is so overwhelming, but...
He is a region zero love. It's everywhere.
That's right.
Somewhere along the way.
DVD reference there.
But not planet.
Elated right now. And I want to make it
work. He will screw anything on Mars that he gets a hold of.
Did she say they're related?
I think so. They're going to have
I knew it.
Special
web
children.
Babies with web feet.
Was it this was the virgin that he chose?
I have no idea. I didn't watch the show.
I just heard one of them was a virgin.
Steven, I didn't watch the show. I don't know.
No, I'm just saying that. I wasn't asking
that one, you.
Oh,
question. I don't want to be like cynical or anything, but that's really pitiful to be that old. And I mean, that either means that she doesn't know anyone, or she's just really...
She was waiting...
Religious and believes in that whole holding out thing.
She was waiting for the right TV show.
Just and I don't believe in it. That's great. That's perfect. She was waiting for the right TV show.
Yeah
exactly.
Hey, I'm going to go on TV to
she's
lose
like,
my virginity.
Not Fox. I won't put out for Fox. ABC? Yes, yes.
They offered more money.
They have Extreme Home Makeover.
But you know what?
I love that
it's
show.
Probably good... To not have sex and procreate, because this is what happens when you do. When you watch something like Wife Swap, you're like, why do people even have children?
Yeah, exactly.
Stephanie, stop. Yeah. Chill the hell out.
Shut up!
You need to learn to chill. I'm sick and tired of you treating everybody like they're in this house. Yes. Why can't you just get done what you're supposed to have done?
What's it matter to you?
I don't want to get in trouble because you don't do your rules. That's how it always works.
Don't make me punch you in the face.
I'd like to see you try.
I'd like to see you try, too.
Okay.
Come on, do it. What makes you think I won't hit you?
Because you're messing with me, hon.
Ooh!
Go ahead. Do
Why
it.
Are you flinching, bitch?
Do it. Do it.
Oh, my God.
Get out the way.
Oh, how about you do it with a now? Back it up, damn it.
Wow. Bachelor Rome 1 year later. Not good. Not
Get
now.
Out the way, bitch. That's great.
So if you want to watch Class, watch Wife Swap. Or even Trading
nothing
Spouses.
Like having, nothing like having respect for your parents.
I think the Wife Swap
Get
is the better
way,
one because
bitch.
They take two opposing families to put them together.
Right. They take...
The Trading Spouses, I don't think they even think that much about it. They just take two families. Oh, you guys want to do this? And swap them.
Yeah, they take... Say, oh, you're really religious? Well, let's take these people who are into body art and piercings
and atheists.
Trays.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's so sad about that whole thing. I remember whenever it started, ABC's Wife Swap tried to be real whole and pure, and they would do things like, you know, this white family with this black family and try to create, you know, racial relations.
Right.
Whereas
it's
now it's,
touchy.
Let's put this insane woman that believes in Harry Potter's universe with this woman that believes in
the trilogy,
Muhammad
the,
or something.
Yeah.
The...
Yeah, because I even watched yesterday's episode of Trading Spouses, and it was the...
It was on?
The overly religious lady. It could have been a rerun. I never watched the show, but it was like this black religious lady, and her kids didn't seem to mind that she was gone, you know?
I think I've seen that one.
And then this guy with the stretched-out earlobes. He looked like he had Tonka truck wheels in his ears. And he's got all the tattoos. I don't know. It's just kind of...
Did you hear the surprise and disappointment in Vanessa's voice when she thought she missed the show?
I love that show.
Wow.
You know, honestly, it really makes you... It's kind of like people who watch Jerry Springer. It helps you to appreciate your own life much more.
I feel that same way about Maury, especially whenever it's, honey, I think our baby might be from your brother.
With that same way of thinking, it could be, I'm going to drink my own piss and it'll make me appreciate this other beverage all the better.
Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right. Yeah. I'm going to eat this big pile of shit and it'll make me appreciate meatloaf more.
That's what it is. It's a horrible show. It doesn't make me appreciate anything. All right, guys, let's go to something more happy and exciting, and that's Heroes. We actually have two episodes to talk about. We have the Save the Cheerleader episode, mm-hmm. where Peter goes to the high school and he goes to save Claire. Peter shows up. Siler's in town. First, her dad tries to ground her, but that doesn't work. She wins homecoming.
She sneaks
queen.
Out with her gay boyfriend.
Yeah, now, is this guy really gay?
No.
Yeah, I don't know, but why? You know what, Steven? I'm not listening to you about this show anymore. The moment you say no, he's not gay.
Well,
I'm
not saying that.
Find out this guy is a flamer.
Well, I'm not saying that I know for sure, but, you know.
No, wait, here's what I'm saying, is he didn't admit he was gay. He said, I'm comfortable with who I am, Claire. And I think he's got the hots for Claire, but it's just kind of that kind of friendship. But you never know. I don't know.
Like I said, I'm not saying for sure he's not, but I mean, they're just...
Yeah, start backpedaling.
No, that's what she's just name-calling him because she doesn't like him.
I'm actually, it's going to find out. We're going to find out that he's actually Mohinder's brother, is what he is.
Sister.
Yeah,
he's pansexual. He likes everything.
Exactly. Okay, but I love this episode. I loved it, except for this. When Peter shows up and he's going to save her from Siler, her bitchy friend gets killed. That was pretty gruesome for primetime TV. You see her head getting pulled off. You know, he's finally going to confront Siler. They just kind of fall off the edge of a building, and then it's over.
Yeah, very anticlimactic fighting.
The moment I saw that scene where Siler started throwing the doors of the lockers at Peter, I thought Peter would, man up and, use his emo absorption power and start throwing crap back at Siler. I thought there would be, this battle in the hallway, but they just go up to the roof or whatever, and then fall off, and it's like, oh, hey.
Yeah, they should have held each other and kind of grabbed each other, started trying to cut each other's heads open.
The only thing I can think is maybe, perhaps, they're just setting up for later, there'll be a big standoff. But I did like the scene after that where Siler's walking away, and then Eden shows up, and her and the Haitian dude keep him from using his powers, then capture him.
So we've changed it from the mysterious black man to the Haitian dude?
Yeah, now he's the Haitian. This comes from my geeky online perusing, is he's the Haitian.
See, I was actually kind of disappointed in that, because Siler has been on the loose forever how long, cutting people's heads off, eating their brains or absorbing them, whatever he's doing. And all of a sudden, he's confronted or he gets sloppy and they find out where he is and now he's been caught. I just don't...
He was wounded and he was kind of limping back, and the Haitian guy has a dampening ability. He can cause you to lose your powers. Have you guys picked that up?
I guess,
There's a scene in the 6 months ago where we see that Eden can't use her powers around him. So he caused
Siler... It just seemed too easy.
Right, I thought it was kind of cool because what it did is showed Eden there's more to her than at first. She seemed kind of like this cheery girl, and then you find out she has a power. But I like how they've slowly showed that she's kind of got a lot more going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's got a dark side to her.
And I might say that she's not good, we may find out. But I thought that was a really good episode. You also get to see Peter and Claire meet for the first time. I really like Claire's character. She's really warmed up to me. So is Peter. I love his emo. He gives off a good emo vibe, don't you think, Steven? I love his hair.
The emo hair. Now all he needs is some dark eye makeup.
What I think will be cool, he shows some of Siler's powers, all of a sudden he has.
But she, walked away, and he's still sitting there, and his leg is all gimped up. He just straightens it up when the cops come. It's like...
He told her to go get help, so, yeah. But I thought that was a good episode. There's other stuff I'm sure I'm forgetting.
I felt like the episode was more of a setup for this week. The what are they going to call it? The fall finale or whatever? Last episode?
I believe it's titled Fallout. There's the 6 months ago episode, which was this week. And it shows what I thought was cool. Everybody's 6 months ago except for Hero, because he's present day because he went back in time. And he's having a great time wooing this girl. You know, him and
Charlie.
Him and Charlie are having a great time and everything, except for one small detail is
She's dying.
Yeah, she's dying, which really sucks for a hero.
When he said, you're dying, she's like, yeah, I know. It's like, what? You know, he's kind of freaked out by it.
He's convinced her to go to Japan with him, and she's starting to care about life again or whatever. She just pretty much give it up, just do her thing. There was one great part where he accidentally calls himself. When he realizes he's 6 months ago, yeah. He wants to call Ando. And he's like, oh, Ando's not here today. I'm Hero. Can I help you? And he's like, great, Scott! And he hangs up. Yeah. Was that the Back to the Future reference?
Yeah, that was hilarious. Yeah.
This is heavy! All right. But I thought that was great. But the most of all, the coolest thing about this episode was that we get to see Siler's origin. We see that Mohinder's dad goes to visit him, and he says, you might be someone with an ability. Can we, you know, can I do some tests on you? And this guy, he works on clocks and stuff. He's a very talented watch repairman. What is he? He's a
clockmaker.
Clocksmith?
Yeah, he's a clocksmith, yes. He starts working with Siler, but Siler starts to get annoyed because I think they showed his power right away as he can tell when things are broken and how to fix them immediately.
Yeah.
You kind of get the sense, but he doesn't have a flashy power, it looks like. The more doctors doing the tests on him, he seems to get testy. Let's check it out.
Why do you repair watches, Gabriel?
My father didn't really give me a choice.
Yes, but why not do what you want to do? Why not change?
You use a phrase in your book. Evolutionary imperative.
That which we are destined to do.
Sea turtles die on the same exact beach where they were born. Lions slaughter gazelles. Spiders eat their young. They don't want to. They have to.
Well, good news is, you're healthy.
You mean normal? When there's still no signs?
No.
Well, maybe tomorrow we're still going to the CT scan, right?
I think we should prepare for the possibility that I may have been wrong. You may not have a special ability.
I am so close. I can feel it. You came to me. I am on your list.
These tests aren't 100%.
Don't give up on me.
There are other opportunities I need to focus on.
But what about these people, huh? They're important. This guy, Brian Davis, you think he's telekinetic? Move things with his mind, or you just gonna toss him aside, too?
You better leave now, Mr. Gray.
Now, after that, he steals the post-it, I guess, or it's stuck to his hand, of the guy who can levitate stuff.
Right.
The telekinetic guy, and he calls him on the phone, and he shows up at Gabriel, which is his name, Gabriel Gray, shows up to his clock shop.
Can I help you?
Yeah, somebody called me. My name is Brian Davis.
Yes, I called you. My name is... My name is Siler. Gabriel Siler.
Incredible.
Can you make it go away?
Why would you want to do that?
He's pushing glass around her.
Or who am I to hurt?
I don't want
it. What a spaz. He's got a cool power. He doesn't want it. Wah, goo goo.
I might hurt somebody.
You're broken.
What?
It's like, have you ever seen Carrie? That's awesome power.
It's so clear now. How it all works, pieces fitting together, it is in the brain.
So you can help.
Don't worry, Brian.
I can poke a little hole in your skull and I'll fix it.
It's an evolutionary imperative.
Now, is he eating brains is what I want to know.
I don't know.
Is he looking at their brains and seeing
maybe
what
he tries to fix the brain, he tries to fix things that are broken and maybe absorbs the power? I don't
like,
know.
Like, does he shove his hand in and absorbs whatever it is, or is he like...
I was thinking he eats it and he gets the power from eating.
That's what makes it sounds like it to me, but there's this
big... I can't... I can't go along with that because they would never allow that on national television.
I think it would be awesome.
Well, the brain is missing in every case.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, think about, is he taking the brain home and looking at it and then messing with his own brain somehow? How can he do that?
Yeah, maybe he's taking the brains. Maybe he's putting them in, you know, formaldehyde and looking at them.
I think he's eating the brains because you guys remember when he, that voicemail message where Mohinder's listening to his dad's and he goes, "I'm so hungry."
Oh, God.
brain sandwiches.
You know what's really weird, though? He has, like, the typical comic book name of Gabriel Gray, and I'm thinking gray kind of like the gray area.
Gray
is he
matter.
Good? Is he bad? Gray matter? Yeah, I mean, there's something off about Siler.
Right, and like, I think it's cool how they made it where this guy, I mean, it's a cool power that you can gain other people's abilities. Basically a serial killer of superpowered people, right? Because he wants their abilities to become this extremely...
So if Peter started eating people's brains, he would gain their power because he absorbs.
Well, I don't think so.
No, but he doesn't fix what's broken.
Because I think that's specifically what Siler's power is, which is his power is he can get other people's powers by the way he does. Peter gets other people's powers by being around him. I don't think it's the same way. But you never know. Maybe there's somehow that Peter can get a permanent ability. You never know. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's the yin-yang. Maybe Siler's dark and Peter's light. Maybe that's how it'll work out. Maybe they have almost the same power.
Right. And another thing is they showed Nikki's past. Where
and maybe that's where being around their brain, he can fix his brain to be like theirs.
Yeah, but how does he fix his brain, though? Does he, like, screw the top off and look
in a
mirror?
No. If he mentally moves it in his head? Possibly. Or,
I don't know.
He's a neurosurgeon.
I'm saying he eats brains. That's awesome.
Hey, I'm all for the brain-eating thing, but I don't think they're going to go that way.
I hope they do. That'd be so cool. It's brain. Good stuff. Nikki's past. She's with her husband. Everything seems happy, except she has this strange father she doesn't want to see because she has a... We find out Jessica was actually her sister, and I'm guessing twin sister.
Her twin, mm-hmm. Yeah.
She died under mysterious circumstances. Do they tell us how she died?
I think it's the father's
essentially
fault.
The father killed her.
Or yeah, she committed suicide after something
through abuse.
He did.
And it's something that Nikki has blocked in her mind, obviously.
Right.
And, you know, he wants to be the nice guy. He brings a laptop for Micah. And I love Micah's in the other room, like, just dismantling
it. Get the brand new laptop.
He's just taking it apart. But his power has something to do with technology.
Yeah.
Much like Siler, he can tell when things are broken. I think Micah can fix things in a way.
Ah.
Electronics, like the phone, all he did was touch it and it worked. I don't know.
Maybe Micah's the light side to Siler's dark side.
Yeah, it's possible. I just hope we're back on Siler because he's more interesting than Nikki. But they've captured him, but I hope he gets loose because we got to have this bad guy out there running around, don't we? We got to have this evil incarnate.
And in the previews, it says somebody's going to lose their life this week.
Yes.
So maybe all hopes and prayers being answered, it's Nikki.
I keep thinking it's going to be Isaac because he just kind of sits around and paints, and maybe the writers are like, you know, this guy keeps predicting the future. We got to keep worrying about this. Let's kill him off. We don't have to worry about the paintings anymore.
You know, I'm all for Ali Larder. She's incredibly attractive, but I just cannot stand her in this show.
Do you think her character would be more likable if she got rid of Jessica and just was super strong?
Yeah, I would. I think so.
Do you think
this whole Jessica thing is like, where the hell are you going?
Well, she knows and I think that she's just created Jessica as a persona.
Right. You don't think Jessica exists?
It's
an alternate personality.
Yeah.
Well,
so she's schizophrenic.
Yeah, exactly.
Or?
She's schizophrenic with powers.
Because Jessica takes over her body and she goes to see her dad and basically, you know, threatens him that she'll kill him if he doesn't leave town. Because there's something the dad did. And we also have the Nathan. We see how his wife is crippled. They're driving and these bad men show up. And I love how he just gets sucked out of the car.
He just starts flying.
Yeah, he's like, what the hell? And his wife crashes and she's crippled.
How you doing down there?
Yeah. I thought that was a little awkward shot of him just hanging there. Whoa! But I thought
What are you doing up there? I have no idea.
Powers only work when you become either fearful or, you know, there's something...
Yeah, it seems like something very traumatic
has to happen.
Yeah, for that to happen. And one thing they didn't show in Peter's flashback is him figuring out he could fly or anything, did they? It was 6 months ago. Did they show him go, hey, I feel like I can fly? Or, oh, he said he'd been having dreams.
Yeah.
That's another thing about Peter that they talked about is he, like he said, I dreamt that you guys were got run off the road or something. Like, he almost has, like, precognitive
prophecy,
powers.
Yeah,
yeah, kind of like Isaac. I don't know. There's, maybe they'll never define what everyone's powers are, but he seems like he's got a lot of crazy stuff going on. I think if he walks down the street and there's so many people that have powers, he picks something up that week and he goes home and he's like, hey, what the hell? And one thing I like about this show is we know they won't do the Smallville thing and do bullet time where the bullet's slowly moving.
Please, don't even say that because I don't even want to see it and there might be a possibility that they do it. So
I mean, the most they do is Hero's powers where he stops and everything's floating there. But that's passable. It's not bullet time, all right?
No, that's
it's just frozen.
Frozen time.
Right. I love the scene where he puts all the cranes in the thing to show her his powers. But I thought
that was the other thing we forgot about, though, is whenever they were like, Hero and Charlie were finally, you know, kind of deciding, okay, let's do this, and he goes in to kiss her, he disappears and goes back to Japan.
Yeah. And he's like, hey, I thought you were in America with Ando. And he's like, oh, crap.
Yeah, he shows up at his company's morning calisthenics.
Yeah, on the roof. Like, how do you get you go to get an airplane ticket? It's like, sir, we see that you used a passport and you're in America right now. How did you get back here without it? Wouldn't it be kind of hard to get back?
Well, if he didn't have a passport.
He's not...
I think they've gone out of their way to show us that he does not have a handle on his powers.
No, it's right. Maybe when he gets excited, like he blew his time load.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Like, oh!
And you know, Siler could help him fix that, I think.
Hero from the future came back and talked to Peter in the subway, you know. It's like, he gets a hold of
his
time.
He gets a handle on it. And he says something about, I might cause a rift, so he knows there's ramifications. That's the thing, is he goes back to the present, and he's all bummed, and Ando's like, hey, you're back, you did it. And he's like, no, I failed. Now, is she dead because Siler killed her still, or did she just die from an aneurysm?
Aneurysm, I think.
Or
either way,
they
she
showed
was
the
die.
End, the blood coming down her head.
Yeah, but they showed that on the previews, though, right?
No, they showed that at the end of the episode whenever Mohinder was talking, and they showed her.
Happened again? Okay,
yeah.
I remember what you're talking about. Okay.
Oh, I know why, because remember he was, right when they were about to kiss, he left, so she got killed again because he couldn't.
So she didn't go to Japan. See, I was thinking maybe she was like, oh, I'm going to Japan.
Whatever. He disappeared, so I'm going anyways.
Yeah, and then we'll find out she's alive, because she was a cute character, but you never know.
I think she was more of a means to an end.
Yeah, she was something. She was a hurdle.
It was something
for
to show
Hero.
That maybe that Hero couldn't change things
for his character to grow, I guess. But okay, let's take bets. Who's going to die on Monday's episode? Let's.
We know it's not the cheerleader.
Definitely not emo Peter. He's not. He's the star of the show, I think. Emo
his wife,
Peter. No, she's not a hero though.
They're not going to make
a main
character.
One of the heroes die.
Yeah, one of the heroes will die. And it can't be Claire, because...
Maybe Claire's dad.
Yeah, but is he a hero?
He's got some kind of power.
Is Siler going to get loose and kill the Haitian, or...
No.
Yeah, it could be something like that.
Like, another thing. When they say someone's a hero, is that like mutants in X-Men? The heroes are people who have abilities, even if they're bad people, right?
It could be, you could be your...
Like in DC Comics, it's a meta-human. In Marvel, it's like mutant, so...
Yeah.
Are they... anyone who has the powers.
My bet is on Eden, the Haitian guy, or Isaac.
I hope not Eden, because I really think that they could go somewhere with her. Could it be DL? Do you think he's really going to die?
Oh, yeah, her husband. That's right. She probably shoots him with a sniper rifle and kills him.
That's pretty short-lived, man, that he's around.
But I think we've all pretty much decided that we have no idea.
Yeah. I'm going to say right now Nathan's going to die. The flying.
No, they're not going to kill off.
Because remember,
the
he
hunky
went
Adrian
Pazdar Petrelli.
Hunky. He wins in the landslide election.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to stab at something. I got nothing. Will you guys be mad if they kill off Matt Parkman, the cop?
Yes.
I think
because they haven't used the Grunberg nearly enough.
Did you guys love that where she goes, go eat a dozen donuts, and the next day he's like just sitting in the car eating donuts? The guy's like, dude, you're totally living up to the stereotype. Heroes, great show. Can't wait to see what else happens. I won't go a lot into Veronica Mars, Bill, but what'd you think?
I think Rob Thomas, he wrote and directed this episode.
Right.
And this was a total reboot episode. They're, like, trying to get rid of this dumb storyline. It has no gravitas to the series. So,
gravitas.
I thought it was okay. It was a mediocre episode tying up a mediocre storyline.
Are they manipulating us when they keep putting Veronica in peril when we think she's going to be murdered or something?
The totally one thing like, I could have done without was the right here, right now, right here, right
that
now. That opening and then using the scene again later in the episode.
I thought that was genius. You know, that's the best use of that song I've seen since Driven, the Sylvester Stallone movie. Awesome.
That's not saying a whole lot.
Rennie Harlan knew how to use that song. But, okay, one thing I did like about the show, the episode, Veronica and Logan break up, right? But they need to break up because I'm sick of them almost breaking up every episode.
Yeah.
Right.
Another thing I liked is when they find out that it's his friend who's the rapist at the end and he's captured. I love Keith busting in on him with a gun. But then Logan goes and smashes a cop car's windshield to get thrown in the sink.
That was genius.
He gets thrown
Loved that.
You see him in the background. The cops are, like, eating donuts or whatever. And you see in the background, he walks up with a baseball bat.
I know. I was like, well, what the hell is he doing? I was like,
and then he gets thrown in the same cell as the rapist. And you know he's going to
beat the crap out
of him. It's funny. When the show first started, I hated the character Logan. And now I think he's like the misunderstood, you know, anti-hero.
You know, that's what I love about characters like that when they start off. Someone like, say, Sawyer on Lost, I couldn't stand him at first, then he grew on me. Or like on Heroes, I couldn't stand Nick. Oh, wait, that doesn't count.
Yeah, we
still haven't grown to love her yet. Not that I have anything against Ali Larter. I'm just saying they need to get past that storyline. Okay, now I'm not going back to Heroes, all right?
Yeah.
I mean, I have nothing against Veronica Mars. I really like the show, and I love the characters, and I want it to stay around for a long time. I'm glad they solved the rapist storyline.
Well, I've started watching it really now because of you guys.
It's not a bad show.
It's not bad.
I think
because I haven't followed the last seasons, I don't know how the storylines work, so...
You need to do yourself a favor and go back and watch season 1 and 2 because they are far superior to any episode this season.
I have to borrow Jason's season 1 over there.
Yeah, that's not mine, buddy. That's my wife's. I still love Veronica, and I'll watch it every week when it comes back. That's all I got. I got nothing else.
Yeah, I will too. I'm not going to stop watching it.
Yeah.
To see her?
No, I'm not getting pulse. All right, let's talk about BSG and then get into the news. Okay, this was the big boxing episode.
Best episode yet.
What one thing I didn't like is at the beginning, it's Apollo and Hilo fighting. I wanted Hilo to get his ass beat down because of his character.
Because Apollo has just spent all this time getting into shape, getting his fat ass skinny.
Didn't you guys want Hilo to get beaten almost? You're going to kill him, Apollo. Stop. No, stop. It's going too far. And he's just punching him over and over again. And he's got those big, like, it looks like he has pork chops on his eyes, like in Rocky 1. Awesome! Yeah. That would have been so cool.
Pork chop sandwiches!
But he gets his ass kicked, which is unfortunate.
See, which would have been better is, like the old Max Bear fights. Like, one good punch to the head, just
done.
Oh,
yeah, just kills him.
That's it. And then... send him out the airlock.
Okay,
bye, Hilo.
I think this whole episode is almost like the schizophrenia that Starbuck suffers from. It goes from Starbuck hate to like to love to I want to punch you in the face kind of thing. You know, we all know that Starbuck is a completely damaged person from her life. We even they even determine on earlier episodes, the farm episode, that every single one of her fingers has been broken before, like childlike breaks. So you know she probably was abused as a child. She's got a lot of demons, right?
And I'll give her some loving.
Yeah, the whole thing is like, we know that her and Apollo, they're almost like siblings in a way.
I know, that's why I find it almost disturbing that they're...
But at the same time, they love each other. It's like a strong bond, but at the same time, they're repelled by each other. But at the same time... they probably belong
together. They're so alike and they're so different at the same
time. Yeah, they're so right for each other, but they're also so wrong for each other. And I love, there's a great scene. The whole show builds up to what happened on New Caprica, where they're all having a good time. They're dancing around. They're doing some space square dancing. They're nice. Smoking some New Caprica ganj. Like I was telling Steven, did you guys catch that? That Adam is smoking some stuff, and so is Rosalind. He's like, I heard this grows wild down the river or whatever. Did you guys catch that?
That was for the liquor.
I need some of that wild
No, that's what
Steven
would say. I'm telling you, they're talking about the weed they were smoking. They were smoking some weed. And I love Adama and Rosalind just looking up at the stars.
Those two just need to get it on.
Yeah.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
But
I don't want to see it, but I just want to.
Yeah. I don't want to see that
love
scene.
How do you know they haven't? They were doing an awful lot of flirting when she was sick in the second season.
Yeah.
No, but here's the thing. There's no Cylon storyline. Thank you. We needed a break.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
They were getting a tad bizarre with the Cylon storylines.
Yeah, we just need a nice little break from the Cylons. I'm saying next week, no Cylons too. Just no Cylons for a while. Just think of the storylines. Like, it looks like I'm jumping way ahead here, but next week it looks like a food issue. Good, you can stick with the fleet for a while. Now, Starbuck and Apollo, they see each other cavorting with their other love interests. It's like, what's that all about? They're getting...
It's the jealous rage building in both of them.
Yeah, and throughout the episode, you can see they're going to fight eventually. They're going to beat the crap out of each other. Something's building up. And I love when the guy comes along to the chief. He's like, hey, we're going to work on this. He's like, nah, I'll get to you later. And he's drinking, watching the boxing matches. And that's when Adama, he wants to put an end to this. And here's what happens.
Chief! Get your fat, lazy ass up here.
I love that.
Make him tight.
Yes, sir.
He's an old man. He's fine. He's not serious anyways.
Sure about this?
It's your funeral.
That was a hard punch.
Yeah.
Just get the spark.
Now, do you guys think that Adama lost it on purpose?
I think so, because,
yes.
I mean, you've seen him beat the crap out of his son.
Yeah, and he even said that, I don't want to win. You know, his whole flashback was all about how he let his guard down. He was like, okay, you don't have to live on Galactica. Go make
babies.
He blames
himself.
You know, he's way too hard on himself. But at the same time, you could see anybody would have done the same thing. Hey, it looks like the Cylons are gone. Just screw it. So he gets his ass beat in front of everybody, but not before that's all over. That's when Starbuck and Apollo are going to fight. But before that, there's a scene where Hot Dog, he's like, I'm going to fight Starbuck. And everyone's like,
how did this guy not die yet?
And Starbuck whips his ass.
Just pounds him in seconds.
Yeah. And did you guys know that that's Edward James Olmos' son?
Yeah, that's Bodhi.
But I just thought I'd throw that in there. She kicks his ass, so we all know Starbuck's tough and full of demons and all that, and Apollo, he's got his problems. And I don't know about you guys, but are you guys sick of Duala? Do you think he's completely...
Yeah, I can't stand her. I've never liked her.
It looks like they have nothing to do with her. I mean, the writers don't know what to do with her either at this point.
Now, in the beginning, she was good, because, I mean... There was a purpose.
Right, and the whole Billy storyline, that was good. They killed. I don't know why they killed that guy off. Did he have contractual obligations?
He didn't want to do a sci-fi show in the first place, but he just did it in the meantime.
Yeah, so that guy's an idiot.
I mean, the top-rated show, I mean...
But maybe he had other things. He's going to be on He's going to be the new Aquaman, I guess, something like that.
Psychic Friends Network.
Yeah, so anyway, what?
Well, that's where they go, the warships, they go to the...
Oh, okay. But anyway...
Yeah, about 20 years ago.
That was obscure. So anyway, the whole thing is Apollo professes his love to Starbuck. They have some sex...
By the river.
Out in the open. In the wild. Around jungle creatures.
They sowed their wild oats.
Yes, indeed they did. It looked like they had some great sex, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some passionate lovemaking.
Some craziness.
And he professes his love for her to the world. And he's like, you know what? Screw it. I don't want to be with Duala. You don't know. You don't need to be with that chucklehead Anders.
You're not going
to
marry him, are you?
Ooh, Capricorn.
And she's like, no, I'm not marrying him.
Yeah, ooh, he plays pyramid, whatever. Yeah, the $25,000 pyramid.
That is a pretty hard game to play, but he's really good at it, Anders. But, okay, I'm totally getting out of here. So anyway, she says, okay, yes, I love you too. Let's do it. And they wake
the
up.
The game just wasn't the same without Dick Clark.
Yeah.
Put that in there.
So they wake up the next day, and, well, Apollo does, and she's gone. And he shows up back to the camp. And, I love how his dad seems completely oblivious to the face his son is making. He goes, hey, did you hear? Kara got married today. It was crazy. She got up, she went and got the guy, and they went to the river, and they got married. He's like, what? And it looks like the wind is knocked out of him. He's like, hey, are you okay?
he's like, bitch. Doesn't even...
I mean, does it look like Adam is totally oblivious?
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
he's still high from the day before. As
well. Yeah.
Dude.
Maybe he had just gotten some from Rosalind.
Yeah. It's possible. Now we know, after all this time, what the big rift was between them. It was basically that Starbuck. Hey,
Starbuck.
This is a red dwarf all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Starbuck, totally, she chickened out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know why she did it. She doesn't think she deserves anything good, I don't think. She wants doomed relationships and whatever. She's like normal people, basically.
She sounds like my sisters.
And, yeah. And so basically he's like, okay, well, I guess I'll knock up Dwala, or I guess I'll go marry Dwala then. So now you know why.
He does it out of spite, marries the other one.
And that was a great scene where they're just beating the living crap out of each other. And I don't know about you guys, but I saw a little bit of Eddie Gordo from Tekken out of Starbuck there. She started doing some of that capoeira dance boxing or whatever, and I was like, oh, hell yeah, it's on now. Eddie Gordo wins. And I was like, awesome. So I was like, what the hell? You can't do that in boxing. All of a sudden she's like, but I just expected the Tekken music to start.
Yes, that would have been nice.
But that was a really good episode. You know, they embrace and say, I missed you or whatever. I think everybody should beat the shit out of each other every once in a while. And then
I totally agree with that.
And Bill and Vanessa's the first challenge.
Yeah. And then afterwards, body massage.
Body massage.
When I first saw the previews to this episode, I was like, what? But when I was watching, I was like, you know what? This is like what we needed. You know, just get away from everything else. Do something completely different.
Yeah, I mean, you're starting to tell some backstory on individuals.
And I like Adama said, you know, we used to always do this. It's a tradition. Arguments turn into grudges. Grudges turn into fights and feuds, and people are separated. So it's good to do this. I thought it was good stuff.
Yeah, let them air their differences in the ring.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Now, Bill, did you dig the episode?
Yeah, you know, I'm not the biggest fan, but yeah, I liked it. It was interesting. Although, the whole Starbuck thing, she just irritates the hell out of me anymore. It's like, make up your mind. What the hell's wrong with you?
Now, does she irritate you, but then at the same time, you're like, oh, okay.
But he wants to do her stuff.
It's kind of a love-hate kind of thing.
Definitely.
When Starbuck is being annoying, that's totally her front that she does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can see when she acts normal, you're just like, God, I wish she would just act... That, but she won't let herself do that. It's all the walls people put up.
I guess maybe it annoys me because it's too real.
Yeah,
you know, there's just too many people like that, and I've experienced them in my life.
That's what I love about the Chief. He's a very—they're all flawed characters on this show.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And they're not all high and mighty like Hilo, and that's why Hilo gets on.
Oh, I need to get he's well, getting
you guys. You guys have talked yourself into thinking this is the right thing. No, my way's the right thing. You know.
The show is definitely the best written show on television. They're not afraid to make characters annoying or, you know, because they go all out. They're really good about it.
What I love best about the show is it's ensemble in the best way that all of the different characters, they feel like they're all existing in this place. It's not like how we thought of Lost where... You know, Josh Holloway pulls up in his Range Rover. Okay, let me do my scene, and then I'm gone for the week. This feels like they're all existing, and they're all getting on each other's nerves and all this.
And that's a credit to the writers and the actors.
Let's do the news.
Thank you.
right, Vanessa, what do you got in the news this week?
Well, in Columbia City, Indiana, a teen accused of ordering from at least 3 fast food drive-thrus nude faces an indecent exposure charge.
Nice.
David Gatton, 18,
of
Columbia City, was found in the parking lot of a McDonald's by a sheriff's deputy after police received a call that the teen had been nude when he ordered from his car at an Arby's drive-thru.
Oh, Happy Meal.
You know what? I just have to... Is it really indecent exposure if you're in your own car?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is.
But it's a
Johnson
private area.
Hanging out the side
if you
can
be, anybody, if anybody you can, be seen. Can see you.
Like,
yeah.
If it was at a Sonic and he's like, just balance that tray on this.
But you're not going to see his, you're not going to see his pecker unless you're looking for it.
His what?
Pecker? What is this, 85? All right, Sergeant Mike Engel of the Whitley County Sheriff's Department passed the car Tuesday night in Columbia City, 20 miles west of Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Wayne.
Engel said... Engel said he turned around to stop the car and saw that Gatton had driven into the McDonald's lot. When Engel got to the car, Gatton was trying to put his clothes back on. Police said Gatton had a clothed male passenger in the car, and the pair had been making the stops as part of a joke. Gatton now faces a misdemeanor charge. In Conyers, Georgia, a man has been arrested after allegedly trying to force his estranged wife into an oven on Thursday of Thanksgiving.
Nice.
In front of their 5 children. Martin Luther Jackson, 31, of Decatur, has been charged with aggravated assault and aggravated battery, cruelty to children, and possession of marijuana after the November 23rd incident. Jackson and his 29-year-old wife, who had been separated since July, have 5 children ranging from 1 to 13 years old. Jackson apparently started fighting with his wife after she and the children returned to their Conyers home on Thanksgiving. At one point during the fight, Jackson allegedly attempted to stuff his wife inside the kitchen oven, which had been left on to heat the house.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, that's really dangerous.
You think? The woman escaped and went to the sheriff's office with visible head injuries. Investigators found Jackson hiding under a bed at his mom's house in Decatur, where he had been living since the separation.
That's a good hiding place.
Martin Luther Jackson had a dream, and that dream was to roast his wife.
Yes, it was.
I have a dream that my wife will be tasty when I roast her.
This is my favorite. Berlin, a German chain of shops, has removed miniature wooden Santa Claus figures from its shelves and destroyed them after customers complained it looked like they were giving the stiff-armed Hitler salute, which is outlawed.
Nice.
Hitler Santa.
Hitler Santa's in Germany. Not good.
Josef Lang, a spokesman for the Rossmann chain that has 1,200 outlets, said that the figures depicting Father Christmas with his right arm stiffly upward toward the sky and holding a sack in his left hand upset some customers.
Holding a sack in his left hand?
Oh my God, this has gone from worse
to worse.
We were astonished by the reaction, he said. It looks like he's just pointing up to the sky, and we were surprised that anyone saw the so-called Hitler salute in that. But we responded.
Deplane.
We responded and destroyed the entire inventory.
And everybody sees it!
So they had to take them off the shelves and destroy them.
Oh, couldn't they just break the arm off and Elmer's glue it in a different position?
It's so stupid.
Yeah, put it just straight down. Look, he's pointing at the ground.
Look, Santa, he's in that pose where he, I got nothing, man. I really don't have anything. I was gonna say how people cross their arms when they're defensive, but I couldn't come up with anything.
Santa hasn't got over his Nazi youth yet.
It's just said no, he's in his Saturday Night Live phase where he's got his finger up in the air.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong to like mine sure.
I vote yes.
All right, Prime Minister Matti Vanhanen, dubbed Finland's sexiest man, broke up by text message with the girlfriend he had met on the internet. Matti dumped me in a text message. Her relationship with Vanhanen, a divorced 51-year-old father of 2, ended a few weeks ago but continues to make headlines as Susan, 36, pours her heart out to the local media. Vanhanen, who declines to comment on the relationship, was cited as Finland's sexiest man by French President Jacques Chirac earlier this year when Finnish tabloids were running daily front-page details.
Hi, bitch.
Finland is... Finland, as you know, is a home to the as Nokia, and its citizens are among the most avid users of the internet.
Meatballs. Oh, sorry.
Meatballs. That's Swedish meatballs.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Finlandia, sweetballs.
Oh, damn.
Medic.
That is like one of the biggest... No, do not break up with someone over the internet.
Well, he learned it from Britney. Didn't she do that to K-Fed?
Exactly.
Wait. FedEx.
Yeah, isn't it sad when somebody thinks they're clever and then other people copy it when it wasn't clever?
Yeah.
Poor K-Fed. I don't know about you guys, but...
Did you... You know, last night I was flipping through the channels and K-Fed was on 1 versus 100.
Nice. What was he doing?
Yes.
I love rapping.
So did the person challenge him and easily defeated him?
Yeah, he missed a really easy, obvious question. It was pretty sad.
What color is the sky?
You're weak. Weak.
Kind of,
weak.
Yeah.
Weak.
And finally, in Berlin, German sex educators plan to launch a spray-on condom tailor-made for all sizes. Jan Kraus from the Institute for Condom Consultancy... Yeah, I didn't know they had that.
Is this the Miller and Malmberry International News Network?
Yes. We told Reuters on Thursday that the product aimed to help people enjoy better and safer sex lives. We're trying to develop the perfect condom for men that's suited to every size of penis, he said. We're very serious. Krauss's team is developing a type of spray can into which the man inserts his penis first. At the push of a button, it is then coated in a rubber condom. It works by spraying on latex from nozzles on all sides.
I'm not seeing my dick in that.
I thought it'd be like a spray can, like hairspray or something you use.
I'm sorry.
You know, there's a lot of things that will stick our dicks in, but a can of that is not one of them.
Yeah.
As a woman, if I were getting hot and heavy with a guy and I saw him whip out a spray can and insert his penis, the mood would get killed for
me.
Wait,
hold on. Before we start boning, let me stick my dick in this can.
It's just so weird because like the whole condom thing has been perfected to be a form of, you know, foreplay.
But see, this
and now
way,
they want you to stick your dick in a can and spray it?
I guess so.
How long do you have to wait until it dries?
That's what I'm wondering, too.
What if you lose your erection and all of a sudden the thing falls off?
Well, they say that they call it the 360-degree procedure. Once round and from top to bottom, it's kind of like a car wash. I know, I love that analogy.
Hey, because that's the term we use, putting our car in the garage.
Yeah.
Kraus said the plan is to make the product ready for use in about 5 seconds. He said it would function more effectively as a contraceptive because it would fit better and not slip. However, before the new condom can be sold in shops, the firm must ensure that the latex is evenly spread when sprayed, as well as optimize the vulcanization process.
Vulcanization?
I'm sorry, I missed out on something.
It doesn't have that reservoir tip.
Yeah. What happens then? Do you just get, like, backed up? And
Kraus got the idea. He drew his inspiration from spray-on plasters now being used in medicine. So that's
hey,
what he's
oh
like.
I can see that being sprayed onto
yeah,
me.
A penis. Cock.
Well, you know, I broke my arm last year, and they used this spray-on plaster. I wonder if I can spray that on my erect penis. That's the first thing in my mind.
Guys, sex on the mind.
Oh, Billy.
Well, there's just a little side note in case you care about J-Lo's first husband, Johnny Noah, I guess that's how you say his name. He plans to publish this tell-all book, and she's taking him to court trying to fight it.
Why even bother? No one knows him. No one cares.
Well, because she says it's publishing intimate details of their sex life. But he said, no, this is about my life story coming from Cuba and that she was part of my life, but he's going to talk about other girlfriends. So she's trying to keep him from being able to publish it.
Yeah, because other people want to know about this no-names other girlfriends.
Yeah.
And him traveling on a raft from Cuba.
But she's saying that in her injunction that it prohibits him from criticizing, denigrating, or casting in a negative light, or otherwise disparaging or causing disparagement to her.
Reaver
That's
going to
be difficult. Yeah, Reaver Bill. That's all I've got.
Why, thank you, Vanessa. Thank you very much for the news this week.
Quite
we really welcome. Appreciate it.
Xenu.
Yes, I enjoyed the international flavor.
It's very nice.
Now, Bill, do we have any cult news this week?
Yeah, I think we do.
Let's do some cult news. All right, Bill, cult news. What do we got this week in cult news?
She screwed up my chicken.
I'm really sorry that she screwed up his chicken. That's horrible.
This is a little obscure.
Yeah. The show will be out after this has already happened, but I just have to cover it. Scientology stars are getting together for a festive Christmas show this weekend, December 1st and 2nd. They are going to get together and read Christmas stories, and if you're really excited about it, you're going to be even more excited now, because Kirstie Alley is going to be there.
Yes.
Giovanni Ribisi is going to be there.
Awesome.
Kelly Preston is going to be there.
She'll talk about, you know what, Scientology.
I don't know what.
Oh, well, she's
well it is kind of is it a Scientology center.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Sorry.
Erica Christensen, and they're all going to be on hand to at the church's Celebrity Center in Hollywood, and they're hoping to raise at least a little more than last year, which was they came up
$10?
With $190,000.
Oh,
an electropsychometer.
And the only reason they come up with $190,000 is because everyone else is spending money on their auditing.
Right. So that's that's expensive, Bill.
Yeah, it is.
What's an engram?
Have you heard of the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi?
Yeah.
The 89-year-old transcendental meditation founder.
Oh, yeah.
And he was also the Beatles guru. Mm-hmm. Well, I kind of think of transcendental meditation as a sort of cult. I mean, come on. It's a little bizarre. But anyways, the Arlington
City
Council...
There's over 6 million members worldwide, Bill. It's not
yeah, well, there's a lot of nuts. I'm going to sit there with my eyes closed for 30 minutes and go, oh, I feel refreshed.
I think I'm levitating.
I'm just going to go to sleep. I'm going to go take a nap. Like but anyways, Alibaba. In Arlington, the council members, they want to, you know, you would think they would hopefully embrace world peace. But they don't really want it because the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi is trying to get a thing passed, a bill passed, that would endorse multi-state tax-exempt bonds for them to finance a peace palace at the site of the former Flagship Inn. Alternative therapy for chronic health problems.
Can I smoke my peace
as well
there?
As meditation courses. So if you want to go there and fall asleep for 30 minutes with your legs in a Indian position or whatever, right?
Is that how I rock them?
Maybe I'm wrong, but this whole meditation thing just is such ridiculousness.
I don't. Is it? Do they preach a way of life, or is it just ways to relax?
I think it's kind of a way of life. You're supposed to be like, ooh.
Do they talk about psychotropic drugs or anything like that?
No, I don't think so.
Because I know.
No, but they really don't like when people are glib.
Antipsychotic drugs.
Because I know that the Beatles, they experimented with that, and I was wondering if they were
related.
Mind-altering
drugs.
Right, like they did acid and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know, when was it?
LSD?
George
Harrison.
He was really, yeah, George Harrison was really into this Maharishi.
He's the one who got them to do it.
And I think they all kind of went along with it, and then were like, what the hell is going
on? And didn't the rest of the world
here?
Go, hey, the Beatles are doing it, let's us do it.
Now, this next story... It's really important for Mormons because Brigham Young and founder, the Latter-day Saints Church founder, Joseph Smith, the man who looked into his hat at the Seeing Stones came up with the Book of Mormon.
Vanessa, save your comments for somewhere else because this is serious.
Will somebody call a cab?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm waiting for the cab. But anyways... Joseph Smith and Brigham Young are among the nation's 100 most influential individuals, according to the December issue of Atlantic Monthly.
Poor little guys. Has
anyone read Atlantic Monthly?
Every week.
All right. What? Well, I've never heard of it. But I'm sure they must have some Mormons on staff to nominate those two lunatics. Joseph Smith, who... basically pulled a rabbit out of his hat, came up with this ridiculous thing, and then Brigham Young, who was a notorious... What the hell is that called whenever you take many wives?
B.I.G., notorious B.I.G.
What?
Polygamist.
Polygamist, thank you.
Brigham Young,
she's
isn't that the
she's
guy...
She's got to get her smart-ass commented first. Yes, he was a notorious polygamist.
Yeah, he was named after a famous university.
Yeah, he was.
Hey, man.
I just thought I'd top Vanessa's horrible joke.
Yeah,
but I didn't.
Well, you need to set the balance. You know, you don't want it to tip too far in her favor.
Gay, okay. Good.
Back to the Scientology thing. Seems that Hollywood star Tom Cruise, he bought a British mansion in West Sussex in England. If you don't know where West Sussex is, I said suck it.
What do you mean by that?
But the problem is, this house is located on a remodeling sewage system. So I don't know if he even looked at this house, but they're saying that how anybody would buy this when, I quote, the stink is appalling. Tom and Katie will have to walk around with clothes pegs on their nose. I can't believe
this
they
is so
this house. So I guess they bought basically a shit palace.
Nice.
So that they could be close to the Saint Hill
Get out.
Scientology headquarters there in England. Last story, in a wonderful little triumph of the justice system.
Wow!
Hey, Eddie Decent drop. Thank you! Yes!
Where'd you get this? Hey, what's that? You're not supposed to see any of that stuff.
Love Decent.
But anyway, as I was saying, a Riverside, Ohio pastor pleaded not guilty Tuesday to 8 counts of sexual battery against a 15-year-old female member of his church.
Son of a bitch.
David Bowling, 45, also requested that his $2 million bond be reduced so that he could get out of the county jail to take care of his personal affairs and find an attorney.
Yeah,
sure, we're going to lower that so you can get out. Montgomery County Common Pleas Judge James D. Perigis denied the request and appointed a public defender. I need to get an attorney. No, you don't. Here's a public defender. Or a public defender, a public offender. But he's the pastor of the Kingdom Harvest Church in Valley Pike, Ohio.
Those are competitors.
Yes. And he was jailed early last week after a group of women from the Kingdom Harvest told police that he had sexually assaulted several female church members over the past decade.
Jesus.
Jeez.
So this guy is a real nut job. Well, that's cult news for this week. I hope you enjoyed it.
That's a great thing.
It is, Stephen. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the cult news. What do we do next on the show? Oh, it says here DVD segment. Let's do the DVDs. What do you say, Bill?
Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! DVDs! DVDs!
DVDs! HD Blu-ray is standard definition! DVDs!
Yeah, baby! We finally got it!
I guess asking Steven to do the Super Chicken Cluck this week is...
But too bad your ass got sad.
What's the Blanco Nino one?
Nice catch, Blanco Nino.
What do we got in DVDs this week, Bill? We actually missed a great week last week.
Clerks 2, Superman Returns on HD, DVD, Standard, and Blu-ray.
The Donner remix of Superman 2.
The atrocious Donner remix.
The Donner cut.
They should have just left that alone.
Now, I haven't seen that. Have you?
I have. And it really adds nothing new to the party.
Is it something that's just neat to watch, but you wouldn't want to own it?
Exactly. If I was going to own one, I would own the original cut, which I think Warner Brothers might have had something in saying, no thank you to Richard Donner in this one.
Really? Wow.
Yeah,
it was... You're making me curious to watch it, actually.
It's pretty painful. I mean, it's not... I can't say it's pretty painful, but it's not very good. It's not very tight. It's sloppy. There are actually scenes repeated in it.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe they just didn't have enough material to put it together in a coherent way. But they wanted to show
fans.
Well,
then why would they release it?
I just
don't understand.
Maybe there's just such a clamoring for it that they just wanted to release it.
Well, hopefully everyone will shut up now.
Oh, no. That was like you, I don't want anything other than the first one.
Yeah, even the first one wasn't that great. I'm sorry. But Superman flying around the world to reverse time.
Donner wanted him to do it twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
wouldn't
have
worked. I'm sorry, I stopped it, so I've got to go back around and speed it up again.
That's not good. All right, well, what's coming out this week, Bill?
Well, this week is December 5th, 2006 already, so you're going to want to start paying attention to these in case you have anyone that you want to get DVDs for Christmas.
Who else in the love car say yeah?
Yeah! Yeah!
And in fact, I think Jack Bauer has seen The Leprechaun.
Nice.
It's time for 24 Season 5 to be released on DVD. This is the last season that we had where it takes place 18 months after taking his own death.
That's right. And I'm going to say most entertaining season ever. It's a mini action movie every week, baby.
It is. This is the last season we have Edgar, so... This
yes.
is important.
Very sad.
He gets taken out by the
spoiler alert.
Staring gas or whatever.
No, I will say this about Sean Astin's best role, better than Samwise.
Oh yeah, I forgot he was in this.
Yeah. It's great.
Really good stuff.
But again, you know, I hate whenever they do this when they release these DVDs. They only put commentaries on selected episodes.
Yeah, do the whole season.
Yeah, well, which means you'll get, like, one on the first and maybe one on, like, the 13th.
But you know what? It is 24 episodes. That's a lot of commentaries. They need to do what Ronald D. Moore does. He just does a commentary every week, and then they just put it on the DVDs. Hey, got the commentary.
Hey, already got it.
The only bad thing about those is Ronald D. Moore's commentary sound quality is horrible. It's like the mic's clinking on his glass, you know, butting up against his Zippo lighter. But other than that, it's good stuff.
And this DVD also includes the Season 6 prequel.
Ooh.
Okay, this next DVD is, it's actually a two-pack. And it's, for $8,
Thug
you get
Life,
Alien Nation, and you get Enemy Mine.
Ooh.
And those are two great 80s sci-fi movies.
You got Louis Gossett rocking the acting like crazy.
Danger, danger, my name is Anakin. My shitty acting is ruining Saga.
No, it's...
What are you trying to say?
No. Louis Gossett's great in that movie is what I'm trying to say. And what was the other one? Alien Nation?
Alien Nation.
You know,
Alien Nation.
I'm going to say I like the TV series better than the movie. The reason...
See, I really did like the TV series, but there's just something about James Caan and Mandy Patinkin in this movie. They just had such good chemistry.
That ridiculous gun with the big scope on it.
Yeah.
But here's what's wrong with Alien Nation. The movie falls to pieces in the third act.
It does.
There's no climactic ending at all. It's just ridiculous.
Well, remember the TV series?
It's kind of like, so what do we do now?
Yeah.
The TV series, all of a sudden, it just got canceled, so we never knew what happened. They all got some virus in the milk or something, and we don't know what happened. They stopped it.
They did some TV movies after that, Vanessa.
Yeah, they did. They tied up the loose ends of that.
I didn't get to see that, darn it. But
I'm
by
sure
the time
they have them out
late.
There somewhere.
You'll find them. If not, they will soon come out.
I've seen them shown on Sci-Fi.
I love that show. I don't know. I watched it every week when it was on
Who
Fox.
Who was that guy that looked like Mick Jagger? It was the
main character. That was his name Gary Graham or something? The main
something
character?
Like,
yeah, something.
He was actually in a... I saw him something recently.
I just was always like,
probably
damn, that dude looks like Mick Jagger.
He was on Sasquatch Mountain, I think.
Sasquatch. And you remember, Enemy Mine was directed by Wolfgang Peterson.
This is a movie with a great script with not great effects, and the writing pulls it through. I think it's a really entertaining movie. The effects are kind of laughable. They look like they're on a set. They look like they're on a soundstage.
Oh, yeah. These miniatures with strings.
But especially whenever the Lou Gossett character, Jerry, is observing Dennis Quaid at the beginning of it.
Uh-huh.
It like looks like they're on Studio 5A down the road. Is this supposed to be a planet?
And the space battle in the opening when they shoot each other down or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Awful! But the script, the writing, the acting, they pull it through, and it's a good movie. It's entertaining.
They should do a re-release of that, maybe.
They need to remake it with, like, you know, Ashton
Some
Kutcher.
Good CGI.
Paul Walker.
All CGI. They're just a green screen.
They should get the entire cast of Wing Commander and remake it.
Yes! Get Matthew Lillard!
Shaggy as Jerry.
Yeah.
You did not lose weight. You didn't make it happen.
Next DVD is a direct-to-video masterpiece. In fact, anything with Steven Seagal is a masterpiece. This is his new.
You bastards! You don't know who you're messing with!
Attack Force. Ooh. Now, what that attack force is, it's probably just him because he in himself is an attack force.
That's a clever title.
Yes, he is a new paunchy attack force.
Attack force. Call the attack force. He just walks in the door.
I'm here.
What's up, guys?
It's time for me to break some arms and do fast cuts so they don't notice that it's not me doing the moves anymore.
I'm barely breaking a sweat here.
Maybe if we're lucky, he'll wear some of that bizarre Chinese kimono shit he's been wearing.
Don't you guys think? Isn't it funny that a lot of these guys, like Steven Seagal, his movies were always laughable, but he commanded some box office weight. You know, he made some money off of his
Above the Law, Hard to Kill.
His completely mediocre action films. Also, Jean-Claude Van Damme, he had movies like how many, like three a year or something.
Yeah.
And what? All of a sudden, just drop off the face of the earth. Is just people grew up, or what happened? Just the
you can only do the same.
They could no
so
longer
many
command
times.
Any.
Is it DVD put them out of business? Or I mean, they make straight to DVD movies now, but I'm saying they can't get films in the theater anymore.
Yeah, there's always been a direct-to-video market, but I think, you know, the older they got, the tired the people got of their movies, knowing that they're shit. I mean, remember his last theatrical movie? It was the one where he was the environmental fighter?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The one with Marg Helgenberg.
Yeah. I was going to say Executive Decision's the last movie I remember him in.
And he died in it, yes.
Yeah, they killed
him. He died within the first 15 minutes.
Best part of that movie.
He sacrificed himself to make sure Kurt Russell survived. And
you get on the plane.
That should have told him something there, but maybe he doesn't want to make movies where he's just in a movie. He wants to be the guy. He wants to be the attack force.
Yes, and he is, and now he is, you know, so he can be really proud of himself.
Right.
Next DVD is Beer Fest Unrated Edition.
Nice.
So if you like Broken Lizard tits and beer, this is your movie.
That's right, baby.
Do or do not. There is no trust.
Not the shit all.
And isn't Jürgen Prochnow in this?
Yes, he is.
And he's great in everything.
The movie's completely ridiculous, stupid, but it's hilarious and funny. If you like Super Troopers, you'll dig it. May I say
ahead.
If you like Dukes of Hazzard, you won't like it, because you like shitty movies. Don't see it.
Yeah, Dukes of Hazzard is painful.
I sat through most of Dukes of Hazzard.
I haven't seen it.
How did Jay Chandrasekhar direct that?
That was
the
painful.
Only thing that made me laugh in that entire movie was whenever they blew up that shack and got blown back.
Yeah.
That was it. That was like 2 seconds that I went,
The only thing that made me laugh was...
And the aluminum foil on his head. Kevin Heffernan?
Heffernan.
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing that made me laugh was him wearing the...
The armadillo
helmet.
Armadillo helmet.
It wasn't even a laugh. It was kind of a,
Yeah.
Everything else is awful. It's based on a horrible show, but the whole film is completely miscast.
But what's bad
is everyone is wrong for every role.
The show was an hour, and it actually made some sense, whereas this movie made absolutely no sense.
Yeah, they're
trying to do one thing, trying to save the farm, trying to do something else, and then all of a sudden he drives into a race that he was supposed to be in, but he came in late.
None of the writing is clever in the least.
No.
The whole cast is horrible. They're all cast wrong. Jessica Simpson's horrible. Johnny Knoxville's wrong. Stifler, he's horrible. They're all wrong for the movie.
Burt Reynolds is the worst of all. I love Burt Reynolds, but
he's a paycheck.
Yeah, I mean, they needed a big tubby fat guy to play Boss Hogg.
He just acts like Burt Reynolds in the movie. Hey, I'm here. I'm going to say some lines now.
But anyways, back to Beer Fest. Don't confuse the two, please. Whoever's listening. Beer Fest is a funny film. I recently just saw it for the first time within the past couple days, and I really enjoyed it, and it was the unrated edition that I saw. This has deleted scenes. It says they're full-bodied and full-babed, so I guess that means they're good. There are a featurette called Party Foul, which is stories from the cast and filmmakers about the most outrageous alcohol-related mishaps.
Nice.
Which are always fun to know what crazy shit went on a set. There's a history of beer with Jay and the rest of the Lizard
crew. Let's go, Jerry. Go!
And two commentary tracks featuring the director and the rest of the Broken Lizard crew.
Okay.
So it's a pretty packed DVD, and especially if you like Broken Lizard, they always do really great DVDs.
Yeah, Broken Lizard always has very entertaining commentaries, much like the Kevin Smith DVDs. Those are always fun because it's a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
Those are
just sitting around BSing while they watch the movie.
And they'll tell some funny inside jokes, too. So when you rewatch the movie, you laugh at something where they'll say, the reason we use this name is because of this, and they'll tell a story. Like, I still remember their Penelope story from Club Dread. They were sitting in a movie. It was like with Penelope Ann Miller, and they're all sitting in the theater. I think they went to see Carlito's Way or something. And this guy in the back goes, "Man, what the hell kind of name is Penelope?" And they thought that was so funny. So in the movie, he calls the girl Penelope. But just stuff like that, it's funny.
Next DVD is a classic, and it's the second classic from the director Bob Clark, which was known for, best known for A Christmas Story. But this one is another Christmas movie, and it's Black Christmas, which is
Bang
just a classic horror
flick. Ladesh.
It is, it's one of my favorites. And it's coming out in a special edition, which is, it's really about time. I have the original release, and it's non-anamorphic, and it's a really dirty transfer, so I'm definitely going to pick this one up.
Who's in it?
Margot Kidder's in it, Olivia Hussey, John Saxon, like the sorority house. There's the stranger who keeps calling the sorority house and then murder the sorority sisters during Christmas break. Wow, nobody has seen Black Christmas?
No.
It's also known as Silent Night, Evil Night. Do you remember that? And it's one of the best slasher films. If you haven't seen it, you got to see it.
Okay.
It's really good. Next film is an Italian classic. I hope you guys have seen this one, at least Steven and Jason. The Conformist, the Bernardo Bertolucci film. This guy and his wife go to France, but the guy is on a mission from this group, and he's supposed to kill this guy who was actually his teacher before. It's like a political thriller, and it's got the gorgeous Stefania Sandrelli in it, and she was just absolutely gorgeous back whenever this movie came out. And it's really a classic. It's really, really
Thank
good.
You.
It's
Bye
really
bye.
Tense and violent.
Wow, this whole DVD segment's over my head, man. I don't know any of these movies.
Hey, let's get back to this one. You may not have seen this one. I haven't either, but I want to. Dinosaur Valley Girls, Special Collector's
Roger
Mammoth
Corman.
Edition. But the reason I picked this one out, I looked it up, and the lead girl's name in it is Hia Thor. Heather, but it's Hia Thor. Get it?
What?
But it says haunted by reoccurring dreams, he adore a gorgeous cave girl and a menacing Allosaurus. Action movie star Tony Markham
soon finds himself transported
by means of a magic icon back through time to a dinosaur valley.
Sounds like a
now
winner.
Trapped in a world of dangerous dinosaurs, grunting cavemen, and a tribe of exotic love-starved
That's
cave girls.
Thing.
Does that have
Tony
star in it?
Must put his modern-day skills to the extreme tests in order to survive prehistoric perils and win.
Retarded. The Exactly, me.
There is nothing retarded about going back in time and just being surrounded by cave girl. Yeah, Dinosaur Valley cave girls. Pick it up. Next DVD is a
I'm a historian of ass classic.
I am. And you know what? Because I'm a historian of ass, I need to report on movies like Dinosaur Valley cave girls. Next DVD is a set from a series that is classic from the early 80s. Dungeons & Dragons, the complete animated series. If you remember, this was produced by Marvel Productions, and it was on CBS Saturday mornings from, I think, 1983 to probably...
The Yogi's Happy?
Yes. But I think this was on from like 1983 to 86 or 87. I'm just
Oh my god. That's so cool, man. This, don't get me wrong, the cartoon sucked.
Yeah, it was horrible, really bad animation.
The Dungeon Master was creepy, how he just show up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But
I remember Eric the Cavalier.
Cavalier and Acrobat.
Was that the guy
Barbarian?
With the
Well, Eric was the one who wore the yellow armor, I think, and he was all cocky and full of his, like, talked about his looks
or
something.
Yeah, oh, man. Okay, I'm just going to
look the guy, yeah.
Give me a break.
I don't like this.
Whoa! What's happening?
Where are we? Look out!
Fear not, stranger. Barbarian. Magician, thief, cavalier, and acrobat.
I do remember this now.
Venture!
Only cartoons from that time period had those sounds.
Yeah, I know, those were regurgitated over and over again cartoon sound effects. But I always will remember the Cavalier and Acrobats. But he would always walk around a rock or something, and they'd all go, Dungeon Master! Just like the G.I. Joe things. Barbecue! They would do the same things. I guess there was always something about cartoon characters surprising children, you know, walking around. Well, hey, everybody. Huh?
Well, I remember when I was a kid, I was not allowed to watch it because, of course, I grew up in a Christian household. And back in the early 80s, was whenever that whole Jack Chick Dark Dungeons thing came out. And everyone was like, oh, you know, that's evil, a role-playing... You know, and I would actually, I would go in the basement and watch it on our small TV in the basement.
Bill, you
because,
would sneak
you know, I just
a
liked
peek
it.
At Dungeons and Dragons.
I never played it, so I was not possessed by Satan.
Well, you know what I heard? The reason it was like that is because there was this guy whose character died and he jumped out a window.
Oh, no.
Yes.
At least in the Jack Schick.
My character died. I've got nothing to live for. No, it's called Roll Another Character, all right? I tried to play D&D. I did not understand how to play it. Yeah. It's like someone would
totally.
Go, this is when you roll the die. Oh, okay. Okay, you got a +6. Do you know what that means? No, I have no freaking clue. Oh, that means you do this. Okay, what sword do you want to use? I don't know.
I could never get past the point of creating my own character.
The whole idea about it, the dice and having the bag, I love that, and having the figurines
and having the books, but the understanding part, didn't understand it.
Like, I went over my friend's house one day, and he's like, hey, man, you know, why don't we get together with the other kids and play D&D? And I was like, oh, okay. And he was like, do you want one of my characters? I was like, sure. And I thought he was going to, like, give me a G.I. Joe or something. He gives me a friggin' piece of paper.
It's like pencil written.
And he was like, this is my full outline. He was like, all this stuff about his powers and his health and all. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do?
I've got
with
a
this?
Bunch of different characters to choose from. I got a cavalier, an acrobat.
So what the hell's an acrobat going to do in medieval times? Do cartwheels as a dragon's attacking? What the hell? I can pole vault over the dragon and confuse
him. Look, I'm juggling. I'm confusing the dragon.
I can jump a horse.
I just remember the little kid had a unicorn named Muni.
Yes.
And he was like,
and I always thought, that was weird because it was like My Little Pony.
Yeah. It was like, are they trying to sell the unicorn toys to the girls? That's what Uni was for. It's like the guys are into the dragons, but oh, look at this cute little unicorn.
But there was also that one, the girl in it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, the black girl. Right?
Yeah, the black
girl. She was
the
Valkyrie.
Wow, pulling the race, a small
what?
Black object.
That's how there were two girls, and she was one.
We're getting back into the small black object territory, aren't we?
Yes.
Little African show reference.
She was a talented acrobat, and I didn't see her color, Vanessa.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't about the color.
Yeah, I just remember, I thought the ranger bow was cool.
That was the lightning bow, right?
It would just go,
yeah,
shoot light arrows. Awesome!
Because they had that in medieval times.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. He went to Merlin, and he made it for him.
And you know what? After I watch this, then I'm going to watch the movie with the Wayans guy.
No!
And apparently Jeremy Irons was doing community service and had to be in the movie.
You know what cracks me up?
I'm Jeremy Irons, and now I'm in Aragorn.
All the nerds that love Dungeons & Dragons, they like go to see this movie, and they're like completely offended by it. And I just love the fact that it was so horrible. It was like, good for you. You annoyed me as a kid.
It's the kind of bad where the whole third act, you're like literally looking at the person next to you, and I'm going, what the f*** is going on in this movie? I'm getting angry. Why is Thorbridge flying around in the sky and a dragon? There's like 50 other dragons. What the f*** is going on? Who's the bad guy anymore? Does anyone know?
Does anyone care?
Who the Wayans guy died. Ooh, I'm all sad.
Go make that. See him in another movie soon, and he'll be a white girl.
Yeah, go make that little man.
Next DVD is Idlewild. It's a film made by the guys that make up the group Outkast. And it's like a 1930s, 40s black
musical thing.
Gang musical thing. Yeah, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
Is this the kind of movie I would like, Bill?
I don't think anybody would like it.
I don't think it did very well at all.
No, it didn't do well at all. It bombed.
I mean, that's okay, but is it... I mean, does it have the crunk in it?
Crunk up! Crunk up! Crunk up!
One of these days, I'm going to get the entire song.
Not like a little bass feedback in my music.
Yeah.
Next DVD is Miami Vice, the unrated director's edition.
Drawing
so
the line
if you
on the
weren't,
insanity.
If you weren't bored, senseless by the first one, you can get the director's edition and be even more bored.
What's great about this movie is if you like talking and conversations, you will love this movie because they talk a lot in it.
It depends.
This is what
I like
you would
the talking
put on...
of Kevin Smith movies, but this isn't that kind of talking.
No, this is atmospheric talking, Steven.
No, don't like
it. If you want to fall asleep, put this one on.
Okay.
But you know what? What's crazy, though, there's a badass shootout at the end. You
I
just got to
like...
wait 2.5 hours to get there.
I do like to sleep,
you know what's
though,
funny?
Bill.
Go out, start the DVD, go out to eat, come back, watch the shootout.
That's almost exactly like Michael Mann's other movie, Heat. Where you gotta wait through all this crap, and then at the end there's a badass shootout.
But you know what? It's awesome because Gong Li's in it.
One, two,
and she makes
go and hit it.
She makes absolutely no sense. Yeah. You cannot understand
it's
a word
lunch,
she
Dad.
Says.
Let's
you
do it.
They should have put English subtitles in the movie, just so you could be like, "What the fuck?"
That would have been awesome.
The next DVD is an independent film called The O in Ohio, with Danny DeVito, Parker Posey.
Hello, hello, anybody home? Hey, think with fly thing.
Not hello.
No, I don't think Michael J. Fox is in this one. And Paul Rudd's in it too, who has kind of developed as a pretty good comedic actor.
Yeah, he was great in The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah.
But I guess this movie's about the woman played by Parker Posey who can't quite reach her climax. And the hilarity ensues.
Yeah.
I find that so hard to believe.
Now, some people hate Parker thing. Posey with a passion. How are you guys on the Parker Posey?
I don't necessarily have a problem with her, but she's not really the best actress. I don't know how she penetrated the whole indie scene. Now she's like the indie queen, but I'm not a fan.
Well, she did that with
she was Dazed and Confused. She started off playing like the bitch role.
Yeah,
she's her big independent films are Party Girl.
What was funny about she was in Superman Returns is she pretty much played the exact role as I can't remember the actress's name played in the original Superman, which was Lex Luthor's lady, who's also sympathetic to Superman.
Marco.
Yeah.
Next DVD is the sequel to Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, which I could give a gigantic shit about because
I didn't
the first
care for the
one
first
was
one.
Horrible.
Yeah.
I didn't mind the first one. I watched it on DVD, and, I mean, it's entertaining. Yeah, I'm glad I didn't see it in the theater, but do you guys realize something about this movie? This movie has made, $1 billion. This is, one of the most successful movies ever.
You know what? That shows the quality of film that typical people in America will swallow. I just don't understand the appeal because they're horrible. I mean, it's again, they're action set piece after action set piece, but it's unbearable to watch. You got these good actors, absolutely horrible in it.
It's a conspiracy.
I don't know if they're having fun, but it's just bad. I
was doing the music, but it's like Johnny Depp's good in it, but I don't know, man. It's so successful. I don't understand.
It's just a formulaic movie that people are just used to seeing, I guess.
I had enough of Johnny Depp's acting from this one in the first one. I don't need to see him do it again in the second one. Hey, look, he's wacky. He's Jack. But anyways, this thing is loaded with extras. Nobody's going to buy this version. They're probably just going to get the single disc and watch it on their 32-inch full-screen TV with no sound. I mean, why buy DVDs if you don't have the ability to take advantage of them, really?
Well, we couldn't have that now, could we?
No, we can't. Next DVD is Pulse, the unrated widescreen edition, the remake of the 1991 Japanese film, which I remember being called Cairo. Cairo.
I thought it was called Shell Phone.
Yeah, Shell Phone! Gojira! but what's...
Shell Phone, the movie!
I just remember the original Japanese version was directed by Kiyoshi Kurosawa, and I don't know if he's relation to Akira Kurosawa, but I remember the Japanese one as being really good.
Do you know how many Kurosawas are in the Japanese phone book?
You know what? I think Kurosawa in Japan is like Smith in America.
Yeah,
I could give a rat's ass.
But this Pulse stars Kristen Bell and Ian Somerhalder from Lost.
Boone.
Yeah, and it's got a commentary with the filmmakers. And from what I saw on IMDb earlier today, it's got a 2.0 rating. So it's good film.
I heard it's quite awful.
And I think about a week ago or two, while we were taking our mid-show break, Steven mentioned this film called The Quick and the Dead. Or it's The Quick and the Undead, sorry. That Quick and the Dead, Sam Raimi. Mm-hmm. So The Quick and the Undead is actually coming out on DVD this week.
Wow, that was fast.
No theatrical release?
No, and what's really bizarre is this film, I guess, is really bad. I think today I was on IMDb and it said under user comments, one of the worst movies I have ever seen.
Wow.
Yeah, so they, I don't think anyone really likes this. And
who's
it's
starring in this flick?
Chris Kattan. I'm sorry. But it says the plot line of it is 82 years ago, a viral outbreak turned 3/4 of the world population into the Walking Dead. Now bounty hunters are humanity's only savior. So it's a zombie film set in the West with people just blowing their heads off. And, I'm all for zombie film. I love zombie films, but they've got to be good zombie films. You just can't make a zombie film and have people go, ooh, zombies.
It sounds like a good premise, out in the Old West, zombies.
Well, why would you put Chris Kattan in any movie in existence?
Good question.
You really shouldn't.
Major dumbass.
Agreed. Next is the Rocky Anthology. They're releasing this, obviously, because of
Rocky Balboa
coming out.
Hey, did you guys notice who plays Rocky's son in the movie?
Uh-oh.
Yes,
Peter Petrelli.
Yes.
I'm going to punch-size your face for free.
And he still has the emo hair.
Yes, he does.
I do.
But this anthology, of course, includes Rocky 2, 3, 4, and 5.
I'm surprised that I don't have any of the Rocky movies.
Yeah, I own... Was that a scene from Rocky? Was that Clover Lang?
That's him punching
him
the
falling
beef.
Over having a heart attack.
I'm pity the fool! I only own the first Rocky film, and I bought the first one when DVDs first came out in 97, and I bought the re-release, which came out whenever Stallone was doing The Contender. And now they're releasing another version to include in the anthology. It's Rocky Collector's Edition.
Nice.
So now they've got an audio commentary from Sylvester Stallone, which I'm sure they just recycled from the last edition. And now they've got a commentary from Boxing Legends trainer Lou Duva and commentator Burt Sugar.
What do you guys think? What's your favorite Rocky movie?
People are going to laugh at me if I say that.
Don't Steven, tell me the one
what's your
Dolph
favorite
Lundgren?
Rocky?
Rocky 4.
I'll go with number 2.
Yeah, I love Rocky 4!
Rocky 2, I think, is the best one. Rocky 3 is very entertaining. Rocky 4, what are you talking about, Bill?
Dude,
no, but it is very watchable, though.
You have to understand how old I was.
I will break you.
It was 1985. I was like 8 years old. I thought it was the greatest thing ever. The music, the Vince DiCola score. Come on.
Yes. I love when he works out old school in Russia.
Yeah. He's running in the snow with this, and
he's picking up wagons and shit. Awesome. The best part of that whole movie, Bill, the speech to the Russians at the end.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah,
Rocky, we love you,
Rocky. But yeah,
I can totally admit that I do not own Rocky IV. I haven't seen it in probably
Christmas
10 years.
Present.
But it just has a little place in my heart. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's beautiful.
But Rocky III is genius with Mr. T.
Yeah, Clubber Lang. I remember that one, too.
But I loved about it.
I saw that first.
I love when Rocky figures out how to beat Clubber Lang. What he does is he just tucks it in, takes a beating, tires out Clubber Lang, then whips his ass!
I do like in number 4 when the Russian's like, he's not human.
That part where he's running on the treadmill and they've got all that shit attached to him and they're like, oh, wow.
He's punching the thing and it says like 500 pounds or whatever.
Like 5,000 pounds per square inch.
What was hilarious about that movie is how many they would do the fist hitting the face and the and all this flesh and spit flying off.
And you can't forget the beginning of Rocky IV whenever it's Polly's birthday and he gets the robot name.
What the hell was that?
And then Polly gives it a sexy female voice.
Yeah.
And what was with the
Apollo Creed, the living in America.
Yeah, and then he dies.
Yeah, he dies in the boxing.
See, that's what I'm kind of wondering is will Rocky die in this one? In the ring?
No, he's not going to die in this one.
The best line in the trailer is when Polly says,
"See, I think he should die in the ring. I think that should be a fitting into Rocky."
I don't know.
Well, he certainly seems
he's
got to
come back for another Rocky, Steven.
His son will start boxing.
Peter Petrelli.
And then Rocky will take
over
and pretend
emo.
To be.
Yeah, he's too emo to fight. He'll just go in the bathroom and slit his wrists.
He'll put on some Morrissey and slit his wrists in the bathtub.
Emo. Life is so horrible. I'm gonna join the Black Parade.
No, my favorite part of the trailer to Rocky Balboa is when Polly says, "And your career hasn't peaked yet?" Like, are you kidding me? You want to do this?
Why are you making another film?
You know what? I'm going to go see Rocky Balboa in the
theater.
So
am I. I am looking forward to it. I love Rocky movies.
See,
even
I would just
the bad ones.
I mean, and to say that I would like to see him die at the end, but, you know, if he dies fighting, that would be a fitting end to Rocky.
Well, what I want to know is if Peter is around Rocky and the black dude, does he have the boxing prowess that both of them have at the same time?
He's just an
actor.
Now,
that would be an
actor. He's just an actor.
No, he's not, Steven.
You're crossing over heroes in Rocky.
No, stop it. It's not. It is real. All right, Bill, what else you got?
NBC, or I guess it would be was it Broadway Video? Is that
that's Lorne Michaels thing.
Lorne Michaels thing, and they have decided to release the complete first season of SNL. So I guess they're going to start releasing season sets of Saturday Night Live.
Millions
cool.
of people disagree with you.
No, that is really cool. I didn't.
Did you say the first season or the third season?
First.
No, the first. They're starting at the beginning.
That's
1975
awesome.
1975 to 76.
Because now there is a market for it.
Last time it was.
There
fun.
Has been one for a long time, but even they need to put out every season, even the bad ones. I think.
Yeah, just like the mid-80s ones with Billy Crystal.
Everything
and
after 1980.
Brad Hall.
Yeah, you're going to watch it and go, the You Look Marvelous thing was funny at one time? Are you kidding me?
The church lady. God, that got on my nerves.
Satan? Yeah, there's stuff like that. You're going to see totally how in Saturday Night Live, when something works, they keep doing it more and more until people want to kill themselves. That's cool, though.
I think I'm going to put that on my Christmas list because I remember seeing it whenever E had them and they was it Comedy Central? It doesn't really matter, but they played them from the beginning.
Right. Yeah,
and I remember watching them and just enjoying the hell out of them.
Yeah, I'm wondering how much of it carries over to now. How much is still funny?
The sense of humor. So
and I guarantee you a lot of the catchphrase crap is not funny anymore.
No.
Right.
But John Belushi, I'm sure, is still funny as hell.
Yeah,
I still laugh at the point counterpoint with Dan Aykroyd and Jane Curtin, the Jane, you ignorant slut stuff. I love that.
And also the stuff that made no sense, but it was still funny, like the cheeseburger, Pepsi. It just like went on forever. It's like, what the hell is this? But,
do you remember that
Samurai dry cleaner?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Dan Aykroyd character that was like this crooked pimp, and he would sell bags of glass as toys for children.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that.
And he'd sell the Bass-O-Matic.
Yeah, the Bass-O-Matic 76. That was
genius
great.
SNL.
All
right, next
then,
funny.
Then just to next. Top it off with the land shark.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Dude, that is classic. I do that to my sisters all the time. I go, flowers. I know, you're the land shark.
I remember when we were kids, we'd be at my grandparents' hoping, praying the land shark would make an appearance.
Yeah.
We'd get so excited
Mr.
with
Bill?
The land shark.
Can't forget Mr. Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there was just something about the land shark that was so ridiculous, it just you couldn't help but bust a gut laughing.
Yeah.
It's chump change!
Next DVD is another two-pack, and I'm including it because I think it's the Farrelly Brothers' most underrated films. Now, they didn't direct say it isn't so, but they did produce it. And that's part of the pack, and you have it dropped from there, which is just one of the funniest things ever. The guy with the voice box and Chris playing a robot?
Cool, you got a robot?
That is genius.
The other film is Stuck on You, which I think is an underappreciated Farrelly Brothers film with Greg Kinnear and Matt Damon. It's actually pretty funny.
It's got. I thought it was. It's okay.
It's okay.
It's watchable.
It's definitely
very
got
watchable.
Its moments.
Right. I never thought it was
as good as their other ones, though.
Doesn't.
Goddamn door.
You have a robot?
I remember when Steven and I were first watching that movie on DVD. We were watching it, and it was kind of like, oh, okay, kind of chuckle. And then all of a sudden, that right there happens, and I just lost it. And from then on, the movie was just laughing our asses off.
Well, from that point, the movie just got really bizarre with the Orlando Jones character, yeah, the plane, and all
I really
that.
Liked it him was... in that one. I mean, I liked Orlando in this one because he was crazy.
I love the dad covered in the bees. He's like, oh.
But to get Stay It Isn't So and Stuck On You in a 2-pack for only $8... If you don't own either of them, it's worth it.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's a good deal.
Next DVD I had to include, because it's one of those direct-to-video movies that I'm sure was on Sci-Fi at some point, and it's Solar Attack.
Awesome.
With Mark Dacascos.
Mark Dacascos?
Yeah, the guy from Drive, the best attack movie ever.
This is the guy from the American version of...
Iron Chef, yeah. Iron he Chef. Plays the nephew to the chairman.
That's right. He actually wanted to be an actor at one time. And you know what? He's in that movie, Only the Strong, that he does the Eddie Gordo dance karate. And the same thing Starbuck did. Oh, man, 6 degrees, baby. It all comes back.
But also, it always comes back to the film with, what is it, Kadeem
Harrison, yeah! And a not-yet-a-star Brittany Murphy.
Yeah, and the end scene in the club where guys are attacking him on dirt bikes.
In
a club.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this.
I was like, go ahead. All of a sudden, these dirt bikes come out of nowhere, and they're driving all around the club.
Was it in an arcade? Or was it
I
like
think it was
club?
A dance club.
Some kind of bar. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say best movie ever.
I actually own it on DVD.
What about the Kadeem Hardison? That guy rocked the shit in movies.
He's probably directing or something.
And he wore those glasses with the little flip down thing. Awesome.
Yeah, on Another World. That was great. But just the summary of this movie, so everyone goes out and buys it, because I know they already want to get it. But it says the largest solar explosion ever detected has just broken off from the sun and is hurtling toward Earth. The U.S. president, played by Louis Gossett Jr., turns to maverick scientist Lucas Foster, who is Mark Dacascos, for help.
I believe With it's Mark Dacascos.
Is it I always say Dacascos.
But you got to say it like Dacascos.
Okay. Mark Dacascos.
Yes. And you know what's crazy is Louis Gossett's still in the alien suit from Enemy Mine.
He's a drag. He
that really wasn't a suit.
He's a drag. That is what they were going for. That's a drag. And you they talk? They did that. Yeah.
That purred like a cat.
Yeah.
Why haven't they put the Sesame Street aliens in the movie yet? Yep. Book. Love those.
What the hell?
Don't anybody remember those?
Yeah.
Yes.
They hide, putting their lip up over their head.
In the next DVD, second to last DVD, Teen Titans, the complete seasons 1 and 2.
Cool.
The little kid version of Justice League kind of thing. With Robin and who else? Cyborg.
And they canceled it.
Yeah,
no,
they
did. Lot.
They're not making it.
10
so
people you'll meet in hell.
Episode. Jesus Christ.
God, Joy Behar. No, I mean, whoever canceled Teen Titans, they are going to go to hell.
Oh, okay.
Personally, well, you know who else is going to be there? Him.
Whoever canceled Batman Beyond, because that was one of the best animated series. Last film.
How rocking is that?
It's quite possibly one of the most depressing films I've ever seen.
Excellent. It's, can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, why not end it with a bang? It's Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf Special Edition.
Oh, wow.
The, Elizabeth Taylor, Richard Burton film directed by Mike Nichols, where Elizabeth Taylor just berates the hell out of Richard Burton.
If you want to talk about a movie, I'm not saying this is a bad movie in any way. It's a classic. But it's one of those movies that sucks the life force from your body.
Yeah, it totally does.
It takes every ounce of you and takes it. When the movie is over, you're exhausted and you want to blow your brains out.
You are emotionally spent after this movie. You just don't want to deal with anybody.
He's dead, Jim.
Mike Nichols did a really good job creating a film that destroys people's lives.
How old is that dude? Good lord.
I know. This film was from, what, 60... at least the early to mid-60s.
He's so been old. Forever. He's an old man. He's got a great track record. He's done a lot of great films. Incredible.
Yep. And that's DVDs for December 5th, 2006.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for doing the DVDs this week. We appreciate it.
And thank you for appreciating it.
And we'll see you next week. What do you say?
Yeah, I'll be here. With bells on.
All right. Well, later.
Bye.
Alright everybody, that was episode 62 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for joining us this week. If you would like to give us any kind of feedback, good or bad, 1-206-202-3491 and leave us a voicemail. Or leave us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. And by the way,
record an MP3 and email it.
Right. So leave us an email, much like this guy did here. And guys, we got an email. I'm going to read it to you guys. What do you guys think?
Awesome.
Is that cool? And it's from a guy named Ruben.
Ruben James?
Ruben Stuttered.
And he says, hello, three things. Is there a podcast this week? Of course there wasn't. We took the week off. I can't seem to remember if you said if there was or not on episode 61. And he says this. Whoever was complaining about your podcast should go listen to a different show if they want to complain. Yes, thank you, sir. I have been searching for a general podcast about TV and movies and just stuff going on for a while now. I love your taste in TV already, my favorite listener. Like your shows Lost, Heroes, and BSG are my three favorite shows. And, of course, I love me some Smallville, too. Just maybe without Lex and Lana.
Yes, a man after my own heart.
He says, I can't wait for the Justice League episode. Yeah, that's a small building to do that.
I think it's the second week in January we get that.
He says, I've been hearing that they have been saving all their special effects money for this one, and it's supposed to be amazing. Awesome, I can't wait. And also he says, what do you think of the new Richard Donner director cut of Superman 2? Do you think it's worth getting? Have you seen it? How different is it? Well, we kind of talked about that earlier, but Bill apparently says
Bill
it's horrible.
Kind of bashed it, yeah.
Well, you know what? It's not horrible. It's different only because there's extra scenes added in. A couple things are changed. Some scenes are repeated. But it's certainly not worth it. If you wanted to get a Superman 2 DVD, get the original.
Right. And he says, I love your podcast. Keep up the great work, guys, and don't change a thing. From Ruben. Well, thanks, Ruben.
Thank you.
That was awesome. Yes.
Terrific email. Thank you, Ruben.
If you'd like to leave an email like Ruben, nimpodcast@gmail.com.
Even a negative one, then leave it and then stop listening.
That's right.
So we can make fun of you next.
Oh, Bill, we would never do that.
No, never.
All right, guys, that's the show this week. See you next week.
Brilliant.
Now this is podcasting.